Tonight I want to talk to you about a message that's not foreign to us in this church, but a little bit different twist on it. But I want to call it tonight, Call In What You Need. How many of you have a need right now? How many have a need and you need an answer right now? Well, say this with me. I will learn to call it in tonight. So tonight's your night. Go with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 16 through 21. And we're going to do something different that I have never done in the history of 39 years of preaching. We're going to use the New American Standard Version. And I'm actually taking notes to the church I'm preaching at Sunday, so it's going to be a fun time. The New American Standard Version, verse 16. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace. So let's stop there for a moment. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace. Let's go on. So that the promise, I mean, we're talking about the promise God made to Abraham, the covenant God made with Abraham, so that the promise will be guaranteed. Everybody say guaranteed. Guaranteed. It will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law. How many know that those who are of the law, there was glory? There was great, miraculous, mighty things that took place. But if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it will tell you that there was glory, but that glory was fading away. But the glory that is coming is just going to get greater and greater and greater and greater. Why is that? Why does the glory of Jesus Christ get greater and greater? Because our knowledge increases. Our understanding of who He is increases, so our revelation or our seeing His glory, and that word seeing is going to be very important tonight, begins to manifest in a greater way. All right? So not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. Now, I have found this appreciation about the New American Standard, that if God's saying something, it's capitalized. I didn't do that. That's capitalized up in the New American Standard. It's like somebody's trying to really make a point of a father of many nations. God says, I have made you. In the presence of Him, God, whom he, Abraham, believed. So did God believe Abraham? Or did Abraham believe God? All right, whom he believed, even God. Now we can back up just a word and take God and move on to the next part of the sentence. God, who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that which do not exist. Or literally, the literal translation, we're going to add a lot of this tonight, calls the things which do not exist as existing. It's hard to go out to your driveway and call your car as though you actually see it when it's not really there. Well, some people look at healing that way. How can I call myself healed when healing is not actually there, but the sickness is actually there? Well, that's good that you asked me that question, because we're going to talk about that tonight. All right, so verse number 18. We're talking about Abraham. In hope, against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken. I want to ask you something. Can you believe God according to that which has been spoken? Now, you say, well, where has God spoken to me? You know, I've got all my prophecies wrote down, and they haven't manifested. Where has God spoken to me? Every promise in the book is mine. Is it really? See, we sing songs sometimes that we don't actually believe, and boy, we've been singing that for a lot of years, ever since I was a child, a young boy in church. Every promise in the book is mine. All right, so it says, he said that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. Here's what was spoken. God speaking again. So shall your descendants be, or your seed be. Verse 19. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Have you ever looked at your own body? Have you ever looked at your own situation? Have you ever looked at your own circumstance, your own financial dilemma? Have you ever looked and contemplated or thought about it? Can I say to you, that's okay? Just be careful what you put into words. Just be careful what you voice next. We're going to understand why that's so important tonight. He, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. So if you look at the circumstance, sometimes you feel like you're getting weak in faith. Abraham didn't get weak in faith. We're going to understand why tonight. Here's what it says about as he looked at his own body. Now as good as dead. I'm checking out my situation and it's as good as in ruin. I'm looking at my mess and it's as good as dead. I am ruined. And here's what my mind's contemplating as I'm looking at this stuff. Since he was about 100 years old. Why is that significant? Well, because God told him they're going to have a child. I'm 100. I checked out Sarah. And her womb is dead. Verse 20. Yet with respect to the promise of God. Can you look at your situation and contemplate it, think about it, and say, yet with respect to the promise of God, okay, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. You ever tried to make your miracle manifest? You ever tried to give God a helping hand? All right, God, we're going to get this miracle done. All right, I'm going to help you, God. You do your part, but it's really, you know, let God, get out of God's way, let him do his thing. He being fully assured that what God had promised. So who made the promise? God made the promise. He was assured that since God made the promise, it's obvious that God was able to perform what he had promised. It had nothing to do with you and I. That's what unmerited favor is. Undeserved favor, unearned favor. You didn't do anything to get it except you believed God, and that's what Abraham did. So we're going to understand that tonight. All right, now, let's talk about this for a moment. When you feel pain in your body, some may ask a question like this. How can I keep saying that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of being sick when there's so much pain it's still here? How can I actually... Matter of fact, when I first came into the faith circles, that was really a big issue. You're lying if you say you're healed and there's sickness in your body. No, I'm not. I'm agreeing with God. Can I prove that to you tonight in this sermon? All right? Some will ask this. How can I say I am healed by the stripes of Jesus when the pain continues to get worse? I'm going to show you why it's absolutely important to say something different than what your pain is speaking. This is a point in time where you should keep calling your healing to come to your body. I'm contemplating my situation, and if I'm not thinking about it enough, the pain is reminding me. Or the lack is reminding me, or the problem is reminding me. But I know that it's important to call in my healing. How many of you have called in your healing today? Okay, was anybody sick today? Did you have a reason, you know, by virtue of symptoms to call in healing today? So why'd you call in healing today? Because I'm not waiting for a symptom to manifest before I agree with God. I'm letting it be known that I'm agreeing with God today, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. I'm going to keep agreeing with God. And the Bible said that Abraham did not waver in faith, but he grew strong in faith while contemplating his situation. You know what he did? I believe this is a key to growing strong in faith. He kept giving glory to God. Can we say it this way? He kept giving credit to God, or kept pointing the finger at God made a promise and God was going to keep it. So you can continue agreeing with God, and how many believe that's important? Continue agreeing with God instead of agreeing with the devil, agreeing with his lies, or agreeing with symptoms. So agree with God. We know that's important. All right, so what if my healing manifests? We're just stacking this up here so we can just rip it apart and bring some balance, some truth to this. What if my healing manifests and I experience a setback? Anybody ever had a healing manifest, pain left, and then all of a sudden, here's a setback. It just seems like it's back. When believing for healing to manifest, if a setback occurs or a mishap occurs, something else goes wrong in your health, it could be that somewhere along the line you quit calling in your healing. And so I left myself wide open. You know what? I was reminded of something today. The Lord reminded me, the Holy Spirit just dealt with me so firmly yet so lovingly. Every single day, I hardly ever miss a day. Number one, I thank you, Lord, for healing and divine health, for soundness in my body, soundness in my mind, my next profession to the Lord or prayer. You can call it what you want. I thank you, Father, for financial increase and divine prosperity. I thank you, Lord, for debt cancellation. I thank you that I'm blessed because you say I'm blessed, and God, I'm agreeing with you. That's the way I pray. And then thirdly, I pray, well, I thank you, Lord, for divine protection. You have given your angels the charge over me to keep me, to protect me, to bear me up, to prevent my foot from dashing against a stone. And I mean, I just routinely pray that I'm not letting that slide. The Lord reminded me that I missed something. I haven't been pronouncing the favor of God over my life. I said, you know what, Lord, it has been quite a while since I've done that. Now, once in a while, it's a hit and miss thing for me. I'll think about it, but I didn't deem divine favor as important as the rest of the things. I let something slide. That's done. I have a number four. Thank you, Father, that favor surrounds me. Everybody say, favor surrounds me. Now, when we stop doing that, we can open the door, an opportunity at least, for the enemy to mess with our heads. And that's where he messes with us. So how often should we call our healing to come in? I would just recommend, you know, like, how often do you need to eat? Can you say daily? All the following answers to the questions will be daily. Okay, y'all can say daily? All right. How often should you breathe? How often should you drink water? How often should you get out of the house and do something? Daily. You know, a little exercise, a little walk, a little something. I mean, go to the store. Daily, there's some things we ought to do. Well, if we believe, let me ask you this one. How often should we pick up the Word of God? All right, now, if you're saying all that because I told you that is the favored response, but let me just say this. If it comes to calling in our healing, even when I don't feel bad and have a single symptom anywhere close by, how often should I call in healing? Every single day. It's very important. However, if you begin calling for your healing to come, then do this. Don't ever push it away. Well, now, wait a minute. How can I push it away? Well, let me just offer you some suggestions on how you can do that. You can push the blessing away by the words you speak. Or can we just tag on, or the words you do not speak? All right? Because this whole thing works by words. It works by the stuff that comes out of your mouth. Not one of our scriptures tonight, but Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Did you know that I didn't write that verse? And did you know that nobody in this building tonight, physical beings, wrote that verse? God put that in His Word. All right, so death and life are in the power of your tongue. So the life you produce or the death you produce, the positive or the negative, is a result of what comes out of your mouth. So you can say things like this: I don't understand why my healing doesn't come. Anybody ever question that? What am I doing? Pushing healing away. All right, let's go to another. How about this? Why is it taking so long? You ever said that? I've stood in faith. I'm believing you, God. And why is it taking so long? Pushing it away. Why? The Bible said that Abraham, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to what had been spoken, what God had spoken. So if there's something that God has spoken, what should I be speaking? What God speaks. All right. Okay, how about this one? I was prayed for, and I don't feel any different, so I must not be healed, or healing must not be for me. What's feelings got to do with it? Well, I want to feel good. Yeah, but you're believing. Let's believe God. All right. How about this? Some may say, maybe God's mad at me for something I've done, so he's withholding my healing. And you're speaking that out, and you actually have the nerve to get on the phone and start yourself a phone ministry telling people how that, you know, God must really be upset at me and he's holding my healing back. One day I hope to be healed. Well, don't give up on hope, because the Bible said in Romans 5:5 that hope deferred makes the heart sick. We need hope. All right, hope is a confident expectation of God. We are confidently expecting God to do something. So don't get rid of hope. Yeah, but we need faith, brother. Yeah, but you need hope too. Don't give up hope. All right, so God's not withholding none of that from you, and it's not got anything to do with anything you've done, because here's the truth, none of those statements are true. Therefore, they are lies of the devil. All right? And so it's important that we call in our healing every day. It's important that we agree with God. So let's stop pushing it away by the words we speak. You say, well, sometimes I got to go to the doctor and talk in a way I wouldn't normally talk. Yeah, but that's called a brief doctor visit. See, they keep you in there for a brief period of time because your money only goes so far, and they want to get you out. Okay? They have rules. Patient in, patient out. Fast food, okay? And then sometimes you might actually share with someone to get them to agree with you in prayer, but that's a whole lot safer than it is the other way. However, it's really important that we continue to agree with God by the words that come out of our mouth. All right, let's look at Romans 4:16 again in the New King James. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. The word sure there means it's guaranteed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You say, now, I know that God made a covenant with Abraham, and God said, I'm not just going to bless you, I'm going to make you a blessing. And in doing that, people say, well, what's that got to do with me? That was old covenant. Well, yeah, that was in the Old Testament, but listen to me. You get access to everything God promised Abraham by being in Christ. So Christ is our access. All right, now let's think about this. Another scripture that's not in your notes, Ephesians 2:8. I was thinking about this today. For by grace, don't deserve it, unmerited favor, I have been saved. Man, I got the whole package of stuff. How did I get it? Through faith. Now I want you to say through faith just like I said it. We get it by grace, saved by grace, through faith. Okay, so faith is like, here's this bottleneck I'm trying to fit through faith. I'm believing God, and sometimes it feels like there's a struggle. But I'm believing God, and my declaration of what I'm believing about God is based on what comes out of my mouth. But I know that I got it by grace, and some people get hung up on grace because it's unmerited favor. I got to at least earn it, God. If I'm good enough, you'll give it to me. No, it's not got anything to do with you. It's got something to do with God. Jesus went to the cross, and in doing so, we got, by grace, we were saved through faith, through an act of believing him. After that, there is something we need to do, and we'll read about that in just a little bit, and that is to keep our words in alignment with God's word. All right, let's look at the same verse from the NIV. It says, therefore, the promise comes, and I interjected, to me by faith. The promise comes to me by faith. Now, understand, again, I have salvation, and the word saved in Ephesians 2:8 means not only am I saved from hell, that's the first one. How many know that's an important one? Amen. That's an important one. Saved from hell. Praise the Lord. But I also got healing. And I also got deliverance. And I got long life. And I got well-being or well-doing. Prosperity in life. And a whole bunch of stuff. Favor in that whole package. It's mine. It belongs to me. Everybody say it belongs to me. But if it belongs to me, where is it? The promise is mine, but where is the manifestation of the promise? It comes through faith. And if my faith is, when's it going to get to me? When is it ever going to happen to me? Why doesn't anything good ever happen to me? You're just pushing it away. Oh, even when your head's messing with you or the enemy's trying to mess you, keep saying what God says in his word. Amen. All right, let's go on. So the promise comes to me by faith, by my believing it. Believing what? The promise. God said, Abraham, you're blessed. I told you that the word blessing, he said, I will make you a blessing. The word blessing meant prosperity. It meant wealth. And people get hung up on that to the point that they push it away. Well, that could never happen to me. Look how I was raised. I mean, my family could never be that way. Forget your family. I mean, don't forget they exist, but I mean, don't agree with their stuff. If they're believing a bunch of religious junk, don't agree with that. I have family like that. Some of them are going to come hear me preach Sunday. And boy, but I will be good. I'll be good. I will be good. I'll follow the Holy Spirit. I promise. And I've already agreed that whatever's in my notes, whatever I don't say, he didn't want me to say. And the stuff that's not in my notes that I did say is because it was important for it to be said. So the promise comes to me by faith, by my believing it, so that it might be or maybe of grace. The promise comes to me by faith, by my act of believing it, so that it might be by grace, which absolutely in our heads, natural sense, don't make any sense. I don't deserve it. But yet I'm going to be in faith for something and it's going to come to me. How do I figure that out? Well, tonight's your night. We're going to understand. All right? And he said, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Well, there you got a problem right there, preacher, because, you know, I wasn't born of Abraham and Sarah. Now, wait a minute. There was Abraham whose son was who? Isaac. And he had a son. And who got blessed? Got the blessing? Who was that? Jacob. All right, and so our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the blessing continued on into Jesus Christ, and that's how we got Abraham's blessing. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. Abraham's blessings are mine. And you ought to say that every day until you actually believe that. And then you call it in. All right, now. He is the father of us all. The New American Standard Version says, for this reason it is by faith. The literal translation or the transliteration here says, it is out of faith. So it's important for me to believe. What I believe is what I speak, so it's important what I believe so I can speak correctly. It is out of faith in order that it may be in accordance with grace. So let me ask you a question. It's in your notes there. Does God want you whole? Are you sure God wants you whole?
Yes.
Stop putting up with sickness. God wants you whole. God wants you sound in your body and in your mind. That's the plan of God. That's the promise of God. And there is a covenant that God has made, and healing belongs to us. All right? So it's in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, or literally the seed, not only of those who are, and the literal says, which is that which is of the law, but also to those who are, literally, that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So my blessings come from God. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
My blessings come from God through the vehicle of my believing what His Word says. I am putting that on Facebook and Grace Hope and Twitter and every place I can find. My blessings come from God through the vehicle of my believing what His Word says. As my faith is released, how's my faith released? Out of my mouth. As my faith, if you're sitting there thinking about it, you're wasting some valuable time. Talk about it. No, don't talk about the circumstance. Talk about how good God is. Talk about what His Word says, about His promises. So as my faith is released, my faith must be released according to what His Word says, or at least to the level that I understand His Word. Okay? It's important. So wherever you're at tonight, at least grab hold of a scripture that you can hook up with, and every time you see that circumstance pressing against you and that scripture applies, just begin to profess that scripture. How long do I do it? Okay. Here's what most people would say. Until I get a manifestation. No! Keep doing it. Learn to develop a lifestyle for a lifetime of proclaiming the truths of God's Word. I'm not agreeing with the devil. He's a jerk. I don't like him, and I really believe he don't like me, and I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? And so proclaim God's Word, not according to religion, Not according to tradition, not according to someone's opinion, but according to the Word of God. All right, let's move on to Isaiah 55, verse 8. Here's an important scripture. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And we see the "says the Lord," and people call this gospel. Now, here's a scripture that does not, that definitely conflicts with New Covenant truth. Can you prove that? Oh, I am so glad you ask. How many knows that in the Old Covenant, that's how God was viewed? There was a day in my life under the cloak of religion, I believed that way, that I could never know God's thoughts or God's ways because God's so much higher than I am. You know, how much higher does it take to get? Here's the Father on the throne. Here's the Son next to the Father on the throne, and I'm seated in Christ. But we see us as lowly little people and a great big God. Let me tell you something. That's wrong. That's wrong. That conflicts with New Covenant truth. So I want to prove it to you. So some read this Old Covenant scripture and want to know how we can know God's thoughts and ways. Well, here's how. We have His knowledge. The Word. Especially the New Covenant. And therefore, in it, we know His thoughts and His ways. So let me ask you this before we go on. What are God's thoughts and ways toward us? Well, let's find out. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4 of the New American Standard Version. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." Grace and peace multiplied. Grace and peace multiplied. Grace, unmerited favor, can't earn it. Just got to accept the fact that God wants to bless me, so I'm just going to let Him bless me. Like one minister said, he just fussed with God blessing him, and God spoke to him and said, "Why don't you just kick back and let me bless you like I want to?" How many of you got to just kick back and let God, in other words, stop stressing over it and let God bless us like He wants to. All right? So grace and peace be multiplied to you. Everybody say this, grace and peace be multiplied to me. All right, now, just by speaking that, will that cause it to multiply, or is there something else we've got to do? Well, there's something else we've got to do. We've got to find out how it comes. How does this massive multiplication, you ever know that the Bible doesn't say, go do long division, or God does subtraction, or God even does addition, but multiplies. Multiplies causes a greater effect. All right, grace and peace multiplied to you. Here's how it comes. In the knowledge of God. Now, if you knew for sure, and I'm reading it to you, but if you knew for sure that grace and peace, unmerited favor, and the shalom of Jesus Christ, which is He is the person of grace and He is the person of peace. We have Him in us. If you knew for sure that all of that would work and you would just multiply in an exceedingly abounding way for you, and it came through the knowledge of God's words, how many of you would go home tonight and hit the books? Tomorrow, hit the books. I mean, if it comes through the knowledge, I'm getting what God says is mine. Amen. After all, it already belongs to me anyway. Why am I not taking advantage of what belongs to me? All right, so let's look on. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in, and some translations say through, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I capitalized, this is not the New American Standard Version, but I capitalized the word seeing. It says, verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us. Now let's hold it a minute because there's something we need to see. Or if seeing could also mean understand. There's something we need to see or something we need to understand. And I'm about to give you not a stick of dynamite, but a keg of dynamite for you to use in your life. Seeing that His divine power, how many believe God has divine power? Has granted something to you. Past tense. What has He granted to us? Just tell me what the next word is out loud. So God's divine power has granted, we have a grant from God, has granted to us what?
Everything.
Now, why are you stressing over everything else when everything, every blessing, every promise, belongs to you. All right? So seeing or understanding this concept that His divine power has granted something to us. Here's what it is. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Wow! I mean, what else is there? My natural life and my Christian life, which are very much intertwined now. And everything that pertains to life and godliness has been granted to you and I, here he goes on, through the knowledge, the New American Standard Version says, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by or to His own glory and excellence. Verse 4. For by these or through these things He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by those precious and magnificent promises you may become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Or let's just say it this way, you escape corruption, decay, by understanding. You escape the junk that the enemy's throwing your way, or even just the stuff. You know, one of the things I get asked to me a lot, especially online, is, how's life treating you? I just reply, you know me. I mean, you know, I'm going to say something. I'm not going to be quiet about it. But, you know, I say, you know what? Jesus is treating me better than life. I kind of know where they're coming from, but I also want them to know where I'm coming from. All right, let's read this same passage of Scripture from the Moffat Translation, just verse 3 and 4. Inasmuch as His divine power has bestowed upon us every requisite, requisite meaning required essential, oh, I'm loving that. It means that which is necessary for life and godliness by the knowledge of Him, by Jesus, who called us to His own glory and excellence, bestowing on us thereby promises precious and supreme. Boy, I thought of I'll order a supreme. I wasn't thinking of pizza. I'll order a supreme. I'll take that, God. That by means of them, by what? His promises, I escape the corruption produced within this world by, it says list, but I'm sure it's lust. That's a quote out of the, that's a direct copy. I didn't write that. And so we need to understand then that by His promises, by accessing His promises, by faith, even though we don't deserve them, it's unmerited favor, undeserved favor, we access those by faith, and those promises cause us to escape some unpleasantness in life. Anybody interested in escaping some unpleasantness in life? Amen. So it all comes through faith by grace, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through the knowing. Everybody say the knowing. I know they've made movies with that title and such, but we're not talking about that. It comes through the knowing of what He thinks and did, past tense, for us. All right, let's look at another verse. In Romans 4:17, I'll just walk you through this. It says that God's way, and because we're talking about His thoughts and His ways not being ours because God's so much higher than us. Well, Romans 4:17 says that God's way is to call things that are not as though they are. So we just learned God's way. God's way is a reflection of His thoughts. You have the word here, which is His thoughts compiled in this book, and that's when you hear the word, you hear, and you become a hearer of the word, so just don't throw hearing away, keep on hearing the word. And so that's His thoughts, but when you do, then you begin to act in His ways. So we want to know what His ways are. All right, now, Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. So you say, well, Pastor, I got this really big problem. I got some scriptures about it, but I don't really know what to do. Well, sure you do. You got some scriptures about it. Yeah, but that's God doing that. Okay, just do what God does. Say what God says. See, you just figured out God's ways and God's thoughts. All right, so in other words, do as God does. Do as it is recorded in His Word. Well, you say, how can we do that? Well, here's why. It's because we are created or made in the very image and the likeness of God. Therefore, we also can call those things that be not as though they were or are or already done. So that's why I said you call in what you need. So what do you need? Call it in. Think about what you need. Call it in. When I pray, thank you, Father, for healing and divine health, for soundness in my body and soundness in my mind. If I am having a difficulty in any area, here's what I do next. I lay my hands on that and I call it in. It's important to call it in. Do you know almost inevitably, not every single time, but almost every time, you say, well, what's the point in that? Because it's getting better. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing the word. That there's a change, a physical change, a healing or a manifestation. All right, now, I want you to look with me in James chapter 1, not that we've ever been here before. Verse 23 to 25, but where we've not been is in the New American Standard Version. This will probably not be my standard translation, but for tonight it just works so well. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. What's the subject matter here? Remember, we don't want to take the text out of the context because we're left with the con. The deception of the enemy. The subject matter here is hearing the word, but not just hearing the word, but doing the word. So we're talking about the word. So what is it we don't want to forget? Our natural face? Anybody here want to forget your natural face? Not really, but what's more important in line with the context of this passage? Not forgetting the word. So when you lay off, and you start speaking some stuff that doesn't line up to God's word, but more lines up with the doctrine of demons, that subject came up recently, the lies of the enemy, when you're talking that, you're not doing the word. At least not God's word, okay? Can you do somebody else's word? Well, I wouldn't call it the word, but you can do somebody else's lies, okay? You can follow the enemy's lies. All right, so we're talking about doing the word. All right, let's go on verse 25. But one who looks intently, I love this word, intently, at the perfect law, and then he spells out what the law is, it's the law of liberty, and abides in it. So it's not just looking or hearing, but abiding in it. It's not that I did it yesterday and, you know, I might remember a couple of months from now. No, we need to continue to do it. Abide in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. Literally, a doer of the work or doer of a work. This man will be blessed in what he does or in his doings. So what is the perfect law of liberty? Well, this maybe isn't a Bible scripture for it, but I believe that it's talking about the Word of God, which is a reflection of how God thinks and what God does. So can you be one who thinks like God and does like God? All right. So when God chose to bless Abraham, because we've been talking about that and we're almost done, so hang with me. This is really getting good. We're really getting to something important that'll probably kick off a series or something. It seems to happen to me. When God chose to bless Abraham and make him a father of many nations, can you imagine? What did he do? What did God do? Well, here's what God did. And I'm going to give it to you kind of in reverse order, and then we'll go back and fix it. God changed the way Abraham talked. How did he do that? He changed his name. Abram means, there's two things here, and one I really want to hammer on, if I could call it that. He changed his name from Abram, which means father of height, and that's the one we usually look at. We think of a tall man, but what we don't think of is a humanistic attitude. The other word translated is lofty. Anybody remember the scripture that said we're not to become high-minded? Why is that? Because I'm going to show you, sometimes we think our ways are better than God's ways, but they're not. I'm going to show you that tonight. All right? He changed his name to what? To Abraham, which means father of a multitude. All right? So in his thinking, can you exalt your knowledge against God's knowledge? That's what the enemy does. And if you agree with the enemy, then you exalt your knowledge against God's knowledge. But we're to bring our thoughts into agreement or in line with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Important to look at that. Verse 4, 5, and 6, somewhere in there. All right, so let's think about this. When God changed His name and changed the meaning of His name, it began to impact Abraham's mind. And here's where our battle is, church. Now think about this with me. It changed the way he saw himself, but here's what else it did. It changed the way, more importantly, it changed the way he saw God. So what our problem is, while we're seeing ourselves as nothings in the land, you got to look at how you see God. Well, God said I'm blessed, but I don't know if I can really believe that. Then you're really not in agreement with God or believing His Word. You don't see God as one who loves you. I shared with someone that I grew up believing, based on how I was raised, I grew up believing that God was this straight-faced, kind of a mean man, bullwhip laid over his shoulder. You know, and if I got out of line sitting there, he was poised. And if I got out of line, he was ready to pop me real good. So because I was kind of had that mentality, I kind of became that kind of person. But change came when I began to understand who God was, not who I was. I began to understand who God was, and today I'm still getting a greater understanding of who God is. The first thing I want to understand more, and I've asked God to show me more and more, even when He shows me something, then I'll go back and say, can you show me some more, because that's really good. You know, Father, I mean, I asked and you did it, but yeah, I want some more. It is to understand how much God loves me. See, you only love Him, and we brag about that a lot. I love you, Jesus, and that's cool. We ought to love on Him, but we love Him because He first loved us. So he saw God differently. Now, since it was God who changed Abraham's name, from Abram to Abraham, Abraham realized that God saw him as more than just a lofty person. Was Abraham already somewhat of a respected man? Somewhat of a great man? Lofty in the world's standards. Maybe you have a talent. Maybe you have an ability, a knack for something that you think, hey, I'm a pretty good guy. Let God change your name. Change the way you think, the way you see Him, and the way you see yourself. All right, because this will cause you to start calling in things. All right, but God said you're going to be one who is a father of nations. So when we begin to see what God sees, okay, and that's what we're doing on our journey here at Worship and Word in the Word of God, is we're beginning to see ourselves the way God sees us. So to do that, you got to see what God sees. Does that make any sense? All right. Then when you begin to think like God thinks, there's two things that's going to happen. Again, I'm just repeating myself, but I got to say it again. Number one, you see God differently. Number two, you start seeing yourself differently. Very important. Now, at this time, as I stated in the beginning, Abraham didn't have any children because Sarah's womb was barren. She was not able to produce any. So you might ask this, how could Abraham become a father of many nations? God said, you're going to get a child. How many of you have had God say some things to you, make some promises to you? Did it sound just as far-fetched or as far-reaching as God telling Abraham and Sarah they're going to have a child? It's like, God, okay, I know you said it, God, but man, that's so far out there. I just don't know if I can grab a hold of it, wrap my faith around it, God. I mean, you take somebody who is a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, who can't move anything from the neck down, but yet their brain still functions, and they can say, I believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. If that person will continue to profess what the Word of God says, I have zero doubt that that person will have what God sees about them because they're calling it forth. Oh, man. I know we're going to have to come back to this another time. This is just so good. All right, so it was because God changed the way Abraham taught. So here's what happens with you. God chose something, but in the new covenant, guess who gets to choose? You get to choose. You say, man, I wish God would do the choosing. Well, he already did. The word is written. All right, so you get to choose the way you talk. You know, I'm at church and I get all courage and I call my healing and I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I go home and here's that nasty pain. And my neighbor's bugging me and the dog's over the next two doors down barking all night. And I just get upset and then I start saying everything the opposite of what God's Word says. Choose to change the way you talk. I'm not going to be moved. Remember that old song? I shall not be moved. I'm anchored in who? Jehovah. So I shall not be moved. So who is your anchor in? Amen. All right. So his name became Abraham, and when anyone called him, he didn't hear somebody saying Abraham. He heard them say, Father of many nations. When someone calls your name, what do you hear? Darlene? Jay, Greg, you know what I'm changing my thinking to? So I start here when people call me Bill or Pastor or Hey You. All I'm hearing is you saying blessed. My name is blessed. My name is healed. My name is whole. That's what God's saying about it. What I'm saying is that we start hearing what God says about us. Say, how do I do that? I go to some heathenistic place, got to fill up some paperwork and go through all this rigmarole and they're calling me by my name. You hear them say, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're whole. Just start hearing past their voice and hear what God says about you. So as God changed the way Abraham talked, Abraham began to call forth what God saw in him, which was that he was already blessed. All right, in closing, I want to tell you about Matthew 12, verse 13. Once Jesus saw a man who had a withered hand. And it says, Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and it was restored as whole as the other. When Jesus saw the man, he didn't say, can you imagine Jesus now with me? Just go with me in your mind. Jesus saying this, I wonder what we're going to do about this. His hand is so withered, I'm not sure that he can get healed. Of course, we can't imagine Jesus saying anything like that. No, what Jesus did is he said, stretch out your hand. I mean, that would be the equivalent to you and I saying, okay, you know, there's this pain and I've called it forth, but it's not come. And so I wonder, will it ever come? Am I ever going to get healed? Well, can I just say no? Because Jesus already proclaimed you healed by his body and his blood. You are whole. He's just waiting for you to grab hold of it. Matter of fact, the angels are perched in heaven, setting ready to jump off, to move down, to swoop down, to do something for you when you speak something in line with God's word. But do you know when an angel doesn't move? Is when you keep agreeing with the devil. So it's important to agree with God. Amen? So Jesus called it forth. What did he call forth in this man with a withered hand? Jesus called forth what he wanted to see. What do you want to see? What are you believing to see? Stop asking 20 questions about it. They gave 20 questions. I don't really know what it is. I've just heard about it. Stop playing 20 questions and start calling it in the way you want it to be. God called forth. Genesis 1 verse 3, it says that God said, let there be light, and guess what there was? There was light. Jesus didn't say, he didn't see the way it was in the natural. He saw the way God meant or intended for it to be, so he called it forth. God didn't see the darkness, even though there was darkness. He may have contemplated, thought about the darkness, said, you know, we got to do something about this. Light be, light was. You know what that is? Confident expectation that what I say is going to manifest before I ever engage my faith, I engage my hope. I got to preach on that sometime. I got to. As Kenneth Copeland says, I'm preaching, done preaching myself happy. If you're dealing with pain in your body tonight, despite the pain, call forth your healing. Whatever you're dealing, you say, well, it makes no sense. Well, let me tell you what makes no sense. It makes no sense to keep telling everybody about the pain, with the exception of the brief visit with your doctor and getting someone to agree with you. It will not bring healing into your body if you continuously state the problem again and again and again and again and again. Have you heard about my problem? I got this problem, and it just won't go away. Have you heard about it? I want to tell you about it. Sit down, let me tell you all the details about my problem. Let me tell you all about the details of God's Word. There was a covenant established back in Exodus 15:26 that says, I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who stitches you up, the God who doctors you, praise the Lord. And that was before the law, the old covenant law. And I want to tell you that God had made a covenant with mankind to be our healer. Is he your healer tonight? Change the way you talk. See your body the way God meant for it to be according to his word, and start calling forth your healing in the name of Jesus. Romans 4:17, God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that which does not exist. Let me give you the literal translation. God calls things which do not exist as existing. Present tense. So how do I speak about my healing? Mark 11:24 says, what things soever, and I can only remember the old King James, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them when? When you pray. Believe you receive them when? When you pray, when you speak it, when you proclaim it before the Lord. Whenever you pray, believe you receive. When do you believe you receive? When you pray. Believe you receive, and you will have them. Whatever you desire from God based on his word, when you pray, believe you receive. When do you believe you receive? Because if I believe I receive, I believe I already have it. I'm calling it as if it's done. How are you calling that shot? If you're an umpire in a baseball game or a football game, you've got to call it the way you see it. How are you seeing it? Well, if you're seeing it based on what you're seeing in the natural, the circumstances, then you're going to call it the way you see it. But if you see something in God's Word, amen, you will call it the way God sees it. Healed. Healed. In the name of Jesus. So how do you see yourself tonight? Healed, whole, blessed, praise the Lord. Why? Because of my natural circumstances? No, not at all. What's the scripture? 2 Corinthians 5:6 or verse 7. I should know that by heart. We walk by faith, not by sight. What is my faith in? God and his word, not based on what I'm seeing in the natural. Abraham contemplated his natural body, but his faith remained strong, giving glory to God. Amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise the Lord.